We have to admit, that was a pretty fun weekend. We had Bundesliga on Saturday, we had golf on Sunday, and we finished Sunday with some NASCAR. And although I didn't watch both episodes, we also finished Sunday with the final two episodes of The Last Dance on ESPN. Pretty cool to see Bob Iger tweet yesterday that he was sorry to see The Last Dance conclude and that he wanted to thank all his colleagues at ESPN, to Michael Jordan, and to those great Bulls teams and to all the fans who've taken this journey with us. Please don't offer any spoilers. I will finish them tonight. Another thing that caught my eye, Tim Cook is planning to reopen more than 25 Apple stores in the U.S. and 12 in Canada this week. So we're seeing some interesting signs of reopening and progress, and that is the lead to your morning buzzcast. I am Abe Madcore. It is Monday. It's May 18th. Again, the week going into Memorial Day weekend. Hard to believe, isn't it? But let's start with the sports. And it was good to see. First, NASCAR. I thought things went really well yesterday. And their executive VP, Steve O'Donnell, acknowledged that as well. He said the event went smoother than we could have expected, getting all the teams in. And inspection went well, he said. That was at Darlington yesterday for the sports return. He called it a very good day for the sport. NASCAR officials will meet today to go over what went down, what they can improve on, what the plan will be, because they have other races, two more at the facility in Darlington. They have an Xfinity race Tuesday night, followed by a second Cup Series race Wednesday night before they come to Charlotte. A couple things here. If you didn't listen to Bill King's podcast with Steve Phelps on Friday, really a must listen. Very good. Phelps outlines their entire philosophy and approach about how they were going to return to racing in Darlington. It's a really good listen. And if you watched yesterday, you could just see the energy of the drivers. You could see their appreciation for the Real Heroes 400. It was interesting, of course, to see the support staff all with masks. And that sends a really clear indication to the rest of society, I think, when you see those protocols and systems already in place. That race Sunday came after I watched the Bundesliga on Saturday. I was texting back and forth with a colleague here in Charlotte who reminded me to tune in to FS1 at 9:30 to watch the match. It was very interesting, of course, unprecedented conditions there. You saw an empty stadium. You could hear the sound of the ball. You could hear the sound of the coaches. You could hear the players talking to each other. You saw that the team staff wore masks. You saw that the balls and areas around the facility were being disinfected constantly. So a kind of surreal viewing experience, but they did play. An interesting thing in Germany was that fans did not come out to the stadium even to be around the facility. And from those who were in Germany, they said that you didn't even know that a Bundesliga match was being played in that facility on Saturday. So again, we also saw golf yesterday, and that went very well on NBC. So three events all have to be deemed a success, and I think that's the part of the blueprint forward. Meanwhile, if you checked out 60 Minutes last night, you heard U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. It was a very interesting interview. He's a diehard Washington Caps fan, but he did acknowledge that public sporting events, public concerts will be the last things, of course, that can resume. Asked when he would feel safe returning to a Capitals game, he said no sooner than next season. Still a lot of uncertainty about bringing a number of people, hundreds and thousands of people together for sports events. But in a quarantine contained environment we saw this weekend, it can work. Let's shift to the NHL. The Athletic's Pierre LeBrun, who's been all over the return to play committee discussions, reports that the return to play committee talked throughout the weekend and that this week we could see some tangible NHL announcements about a restart. He reports that progress was made on a 24-team format for the return to play. Meanwhile, the NHL Board of Governors meet today at 3:00. Let's go to baseball. Two amazing documents that were released this weekend. One was the manual operations of returning to play. Very detailed, a 67-page report. For me, the more interesting one was a 12-page document called The Economics of Playing Without Fans in Attendance. This was a management document presented to the union. R. Eric Prisbell got a copy of it. It's a fascinating study of the finances of Major League Baseball, detailing everything from local revenue to media rights to gate revenue. Baseball informed the union that paying players prorated salaries over the course of a shortened 82-game season would result in the average loss of $640,000 for each game. the Yankees would see the biggest loss of all. The Detroit Tigers would see the smallest loss of all. The document shows that in 2019, Major League Baseball was split up this way. Pretty interesting. 39% of it was the local gate and other in-park sources. 25% was central revenue from the league office. 22% local media. 11% sponsorship, and 4% was other. But this document, like I said, Economics of Playing Without Fans in Attendance, is an interesting look behind the curtain of baseball's financials. Shift to some people news now. This does not surprise me, but Yahoo is reporting that the National Basketball Players Association has temporarily suspended its search for a successor to Executive Director Michelle Roberts until there is more certainty around the future of the NBA season. I mean, Roberts is a solid, solid leader. Of course, it was reported earlier this year, before the pandemic, that she was moving on from the NBPA and they were going to begin a search. Makes sense that they wait until they see what the economics and what the environment is like on the other side before going forward with that search. Meanwhile, Boston College Athletic Director Martin Jarmon, a two-time winner of SBJ's 40 Under 40 Awards, is close to finalizing a six-year deal to become the new athletic director at UCLA. That's according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. He had it first over the weekend. Jarmon came to BC in 2017 from Ohio State. He learned at the side of athletic director Gene Smith. Now, UCLA, it's an interesting program. It's a big program. It's a sexy program. It's a high-profile program. There's a lot of financial issues challenging the program. It's got some big deficits. And Yahoo Sports is reporting it's facing a major, major deficit, nearly $20 million in an athletic department deficit. So Jarmon likely to be announced this week unless something goes south on the negotiations. But all indications are that Martin Jarmon will be the next athletic director at UCLA. The Preakness announced over the weekend that it will be run on October 3rd, and it's the first time since the end of World War II that that event will be held outside the month of May. Remember, the Kentucky Derby is set for September 5th. Now, the Preakness is October 3rd. No clear line yet on when the Belmont Stakes will be run because the New York Racing Association has not announced plans for its postponed Belmont Stakes, but two stakes, the Derby and the Preakness, are set for September 5th and October 3rd, respectively. Some other notes before finishing up. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announced Friday that NFL team staffs can return to work Tuesday if local regulations allow. And we always say things happen in three. Well, certainly we lost three very talented people this weekend. First, the legendary Phyllis George died Thursday night in Kentucky at 70. Of course, I remember Phyllis George well. I was part of that generation watching her on the NFL Today with Brent Musburger, with Irv Cross, and Jimmy the Greek Snyder. She was really the most prominent woman in sports casting, incredibly, incredibly talented, and was a pioneer for so many other women who followed her. So we will miss Phyllis George. In Chicago, Michael McCaskey, who took over the reins from the Chicago Bears from his grandfather George Halas in 1983, died Saturday at 76. Of course, Michael McCaskey did see the team win a Super Bowl in 1985, the Super Bowl shuffle team. Michael McCaskey was very well liked. He was very cerebral. He was not your normal NFL team owner or executive or controlling executive. Michael McCaskey had a very big following of fans, like I said, enjoyed the arts, enjoyed culture, but also loved football. And that was a tough act to follow, following George Halas. But Michael McCaskey, dead at the age of 76. And finally, one of my favorite character actors, Fred Willard, who I loved in Best in Show, Mighty Wind, Spinal Tap, so many other, the Christopher Guest movies. He was great. What a scene-stealing actor, died at the age of 76. So I said we lost three very talented people over the weekend, Phyllis George, Michael McCaskey, and Fred Willard. And so while the Buzzcast ends with a little bit of a sad note, remember, we started with some very good news. Signs of sports returning. This week, I do think you're going to see some clear indication from the NHL and perhaps even the NBA about their return to play plans and scenarios. So I hope everybody has a safe, happy and productive week. It's going to be a big week going into Memorial Day weekend. That is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, May 18th. I'm Abe Madcore. Let's have a great day and a great week.